We are now in the midst of trying to emerge from our socialist dystopian preview. And as we lose our patience with pretending to care for people, we're slowly opening up more and more things and returning to life as it was before. But some Christians have decided to the openings have not been as quick as they would like, and some churches are still shut down. Churches in California, for example, are not able to meet, and many Christians have decided to exercise some kind of civil disobedience. They're planning on doing it on Pentecost Sunday, and there's kind of this coordinated effort to do this. Now, our Christian tradition has a heritage of civil disobedience. There is just civil disobedience. And I am one of the people who thinks all of our civil magistrate rulings have been the silliest, most absurd things possible. I am a red-blooded American. I love the Don't Tread on Me flag. I am all about that rugged individualism and that Mullen Labe kind of approach to things. However, I'm not convinced that this planned civil disobedience is the most wise course of action that our Christian, conservative Christian leaders are pushing us toward. And this is why. Proverbs tells us that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and it's like water, and God directs it to wherever he wishes. God directed our rulers to shut down our places of worship. God shut down our places of worship. And that's not insignificant. That means something. If we believe God is sovereign, he's speaking to us with this shutdown of his churches. And why did he do this? He did it because our praise is disgusting to him. He hates our worship, and he's wanting to send us a message of repentance and cleansing ourselves so that he can find delight in our worship once again. In Isaiah, we read this: "When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." What does Malachi say of the man who treats the wife of his youth with treachery? He says he covers his garments in violence. When Christians get together and they raise their hands to the Lord, the apostles enjoin us to raise holy hands to the Lord. But what we are raising are hands full of blood, and God cannot stand that kind of worship. God shut down the places of worship so that he could have a reprieve, so he could have a moment of rest from this trampling of his courts. And conservative Christians do not think this. They think they are spotless. They think their worship is acceptable to God. It's those homosexuals over there. It's those feminists over there. It's those liberals over there. That's the worship that God hates. No, God hates your worship. God hates the conservative worship that is happening. And so, What this manifests in with our Christian leaders, I've seen this over and over and over again. They're making references to themselves as Christians in the catacombs. They've been banished from the public places, and so these faithful early Christian martyrs had to go to the catacombs in the early church, and that's where they had to worship. And it's, they are viewing themselves as early martyrs of the church. They are now new martyrs of the church. and they have no clue that they are actually more analogous to the Israelites being taken away by Babylonian, by the Babylonians. They have their hands in chains. The civil rulers have put their hands in chains and say, no communion for you, no worship for you, and they're going away to Babylon saying, I'm a faithful worshiper of Yahweh. This is happening because I have faithfully worshiped Yahweh, because I was pro-life and against abortion, and I voted Republican. And God is saying, no, this is not. This is because you are covenant breakers, and you deal with the wives of your youth treacherously. So Jeremiah says this, and I'm not saying, I am throwing this out there for myself just as much as anybody else, something for the church to consider, particularly the conservative church. There were Israelites in the time of the Babylonian captivity who wanted to resist the Babylonian captivity. They wanted to fight Babylon. They were zealous for God, but they were unfaithful. This is what Jeremiah says to him. He says, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, this is important. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Now, I am not saying that our rulers need to be submitted to in every regard, but I'm saying it's something to consider, that the bad guys here are not the goofball sodomites like our governor in Colorado. They're not the Jezebel governor in Michigan. Those are enemies. They're not the primary enemy. The primary enemy are the people of God, the priests and the Levites, the conservative pastors, all of these men who have trampled the courts by despising the covenant of God. And God has brought this as a judgment upon them. And they have said, we're not being judged, they're being judged. And so we need to consider who's the bad guy here, who's to blame, and really start to examine ourselves, particularly the conservative Christian wing of the church that takes God's word seriously. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord, so repentance has to begin at the house of the Lord. We can't be saying to the goofy sodomite governor, you gotta repent. We do say that to him, but we can't be saying that while we're all in adultery and we're coming to God and singing, having our impressive liturgies and thinking that God is pleased with us because we have reverent liturgies while we're on our second and third wives. It doesn't work that way. That is a disgusting form of worship that God is dealing with. He's trying to teach us a lesson. These are lessons in the panic plague, and we're failing to grasp what's going on. So we can continue going down the road we're going, or we can humble ourselves and we can repent. We can submit to God's word and live. Amen. This reminds us of our own need to repent. So let us confess our sins to our Creator.